welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Most of you know my guest today. I will say there are few people out there who actually get to the truth at faster and more intensely and more intimately than Jason Burmess. He is an amazing documentary filmmaker. He's got great shows out there, and he doesn't care whose side or what happens. He just wants to know the truth, and he wants you to know it. Thank you for joining me, Jason.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Mel. And I know we're going to be talking about FTX today. And I would just say this to everybody right now. Be careful about what gets pumped up in the mainstream media and even the alternative media, not because I don't think a lot of it's going to be valid. I think there's going to be a lot of disinformation and also rabbit trails for people to follow that won't quite get there. But when you look at how this thing was formed, how it only came into being in 2019, how they're trying to make it out to the idea that they need more regulations. Mel, I know people in crypto that have spent time in jail for their coin, period. And actually a good friend of mine, you know, and I looked at some of the internal emails. So first of all, the idea the SEC isn't already involved in crypto all over the place. They are. And I looked at some of these emails, and my friend who went in was basically discouraging others that were running some of the pump and dump scams on these coins. And I would even make a comparison to what Elon Musk did with Dogecoin. Doge is a meme coin. There is really nothing behind it other than the zeros and ones of blockchain and its tradability. And outright, that really is the CBDC model, is basically a track trace database coin that can be issued out of nowhere into thin air and also be programmable as to what you can do with it, right? So when you see FTX palling around with the elite of the elite, and for instance, as soon as April of 2022, Blair and Clinton are speaking on panels with this guy, they're putting FTX in charge of the board, basically, that's going to look into how they're going to further regulate cryptocurrencies and bring them into fruition through the executive order, for instance, that Biden signed looking into this arena.
Right.
And what I think happened is that there were just so many crimes committed within this structure because, you know, let's just go over some of the basics that we can all agree on.
Right.
This thing is already set up in the Bahamas, okay, which should just set off all sorts of red alarms, okay? These people are in their 20s, and crypto isn't new in 2019 or even like 2017, 2018 when they have their ideas and they're getting venture capital. It's not new at any by any means. In fact, really, you've already set up the big players that we've seen and some pretty big traders. Now, in the past, we have seen other sites that hold crypto go down. Mt. Gox was probably the biggest one because billions were, I think it was around 8 billion, which is chump change now to what we've seen in the past couple weeks. And right now, you're starting to see the prosecutions against those people. So they have found a lot of the Mt. Gox people. That's out there. So again, the idea that the regulations haven't happened, that exchanges haven't gone down, is a misnomer. So you see in April that you have Clinton and them. You've literally got a high stakes Super Bowl commercial just a year ago, right? Like a little over a year ago, where they have Larry David throughout history. And here he is as the founders and everything is, you're an idiot if you're not into crypto and FTX. That alone should also say, yes, we had big players here. What I believe is intelligence behind the scenes to get into politics, especially with the ledger this guy had. That's not a debate either. That is real information of Trump lose. And I know that a lot of spin out there that he was also donating to Republicans. Republicans aren't great guys. Just so everybody knows, the Republicans he was also donating to were also never Trumpers.
Right.
Being a cheerleader to Trump, this is a reality that you saw an apparatus come against this guy with two impeachments that were totally ludicrous, all right, with the intelligence agencies, with Russia continually. And then at the end, you saw deplatforming digitally, which is all going to actually work into this, because at the end of the day, these programmable tokens that they want to get you into, and I'll show you, that's where this leads to, is not only going to be a carbon credit system, but a social credit system as to how they're programmed. And this, again, is how they wanted to bring FTX in. Now, what do I think happened? I think they pumped so much money into this, right? Via donors and low scale millionaires, right? And just got everybody on board. What do I mean by they? The hype machine, the media machine, which really the military industrial complex owns, right? They build up these superstars. And they found this guy where they could set him up nice in the Bahamas, and they could say he drove a Corolla.
And remember, that's always the thing people say about what's his name? Berkshire Hathaway guy. Like, he still drives this car from 70s.
Yeah. He lives in Warren Buffett lives in a small house. He likes ice cream. Like, it's cartoon land.
Okay? Right.
But that's what people buy into, because that's what they're sold to via the media, which basically is run by these systems. Wall Street is run by this system. So you bring FTX in, and I think a lot of the smaller guys began to see the Ponzi scheme. And as they got out, the bigger criminals had to get out. And now it's just cover-up time, because you've not only got these donations apparently to stop Trump at all costs, right? And we know the Time magazine came out and bragged that they fortified the election. I will guarantee you that money will lead back to some of these fortifiers of the election. And from that article, I haven't even reread that article, but now I should, because I guarantee you that some kind of money is going to run through those people.
Oh, the Molly Ball article bragging about the election from Time?
They named names too, right? They named all these organizations rooted with one another. So I guarantee some of the money is going to funnel back to that. And then Ukraine, which has been a hotbed for so much corruption, not only in political money laundering, but also just like China, in the field of, I'll call it bioterrorism, because that's what it is. They can act like it's something else, but I mean, it's bioterrorism. But there's a lot more going on there. I mean, Ukraine's a huge export for human trafficking of women in the pornography industry, and that doesn't get talked about enough. You know, that place, and then they put in charge literally a puppet who was an actor prior, who we know at least got extorted by Biden. You know, let's say Zelensky had a good heart and he's like, you know, I'm going to get to the bottom of Hunter and Burisma. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to let the prosecutor stay. He bent the knee for the billion, right? And I guess it was a good news for him, because now he's in a situation where he's Rambo taking in tens of billions of dollars a month conservatively. It's crazy. But that's where we are. So I think a lot of roads... This is going to be a story they're going to be talking about, just like Madoff for decades, right? But just like the Madoff story, where there were some suicides involved afterwards within his family, and just like the BCCI scandal before it, where we had to wait until, geez, I think it was about 2005 or six, where they acknowledged, it might have been as close as 2002, they acknowledged that bin Laden and his network had been using BCCI, right?
Well, imagine that.
Imagine that.
Well, and another thing about you connecting it to the intelligence community is that the brother, I think that him and his brother had a big thing about PPP and like protecting us from COVID. And then they funded, I saw a study, but saying that ivermectin didn't work. So they were involved on that, on the plandemic, as I call it, too. They had their hands in everything.
More than that. So, all right. You already have this idea that again, it was a bombshell thing. Like I said, the crimes are going to be crazy. But yes, FTX actually funded one of the studies that discredited ivermectin as a treatment for COVID. And that is not debatable. That is actual fact. You also have this little pseudo commercial with Corolla Boy, Bankman-Fried, where he's talking about the climate change he's going to give money to. It's every single one of the issues that now you're seeing come from the left, but also COVID and restrictions and all these other things. So this guy is, you know, he's rolling with the script. That's probably why he hasn't been picked up yet, right? As long as he continues to roll with the script, he's eventually probably going to get picked up, by the way, Mel. I don't think there's any way out of that. But right now, I believe the film is Michael Clayton. I don't know if you remember. Is George Clooney picked
up? Yeah, I remember it.
Okay, so for those that, it's kind of like the Michael Clayton moment, right? They're kind of deciding what they want to do with him. And if, for those that don't know what Michael Clayton is, it's the story of basically this collusion between government and corporations that they're doing bad things. And they think that Clayton is going to roll on them because he's got too much information. So they try to blow his car up, but he's not in it. And then through the rest of the movie, you kind of see how the deals are cut behind the scenes and how they'll use assassin squads to take out certain people. And he's like, literally while he's bugged on the woman that he's getting to admit that basically she tried to kill him, he's saying, I'm the guy you pay off.
Right. I'm the other side of this.
Yeah, I'm the guy that will shut his mouth. You didn't even try that with me. And generally, I think that scene works a lot because that's probably how that actual person felt.
Right.
And that's probably how it actually works, you know. Another example would be Siriana, another.
It's yeah, really, Clooney again. Imagine that. Yeah. He's an inside man as much as you get.
Well, again, they're cutting deals behind the scenes for war crimes where they're basically telling this guy, the DOG and the DOD have cut a deal with the lawyer. And they're saying, look, you're going to have to serve this much time. This is what we're going to charge you with, etc. Play ball. I believe the same thing was done with Ghislaine Maxwell. Look, she's played ball. She's in a nice little country. Now they're rehabilitating her image. You notice even Virginia.
I noticed.
Roberts has said that, Dershowitz wasn't the guy that's going to shed some light on it. We do have documents coming up.
I saw.
And listen, Epstein isn't involved in this network as you can get because it's still the Maxwell network, the Robert Max. It's the model, right? It's all these little units of control where you're laundering money, you're doing arms deals, you're getting extortion, you're dealing in women, right? All this is going on with FTX. So another aspect of the bigger picture of this, we talked about Bill Clinton and Blair, but even a year ago, Hillary Clinton, crypto has the potential for undermining the role of the dollar as the reserve currency. And this is not a new idea. The World Economic Forum, this is back in 2020, we're talking about XRP and Ripple as a CBDC. Why do they like XRP and Ripple? Because again, it's a meme coin. It's not a proof of work coin or a proof of stake coin. It's a programmable token in the sense of the IMF's SDR unit. Okay, yeah. So for those that don't understand what an SDR is, I was warning well over a decade ago over at InfoWars, hey, we shouldn't let the International Monetary Fund just make money out of nowhere that isn't even printed up as paper, folks, or made into a coin, because we get that doesn't have any backing. But basically, digital money, zeros and ones, that then gets lent out in these programs. And I want to show everybody here really quickly where this leads via the blockchain. And I'll turn the music pretty much all the way down just because it's so damn annoying. Because we've all heard the music on these WEF commercials. But what you're looking at and about to look at is already the World Food Program, which is IMF run with the World Health Organization and the United Nations. And this network is the mouthpiece of pseudo-governance, a refugee camp that runs on the blockchain. Because as I said, it's the perfect track trace database token that is also programmable and can be hooked into your body. Okay, so let's explain that in a minute, but this is going to be biometrically connected. So you got a nice little refugee camp. Now they can shop in these markets they let them have without that, with the programmable money, just with their iris scans for the World Food Program accounts.
God.
So this is already a small level of the Internet of Bodies that's in use now.
Oh, my God.
All of their digital identity is also programmable, so nobody else can use it, okay? And it's only going to be able to use it for what they want. Let me stop it right there. Passports, exam certificates, financial histories, they're not even shy about it. It's going to be even more than that. It'll basically be access to all of your metadata. If it's not in the token itself and the metadata there, it will link to a network that will go to a cloud that will have that information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of a database center. So basically this right here is talking about how as more and more regions are destroyed by conflict, this came out pre-Ukraine, by the way, and Russia.
Of course it did.
Yes. You're going to need more of these centers because there's going to be so many damn refugees.
Right.
Okay. And instead of, you know, directly paying them and having, you know, this basically stops all these transaction fees and that cost millions of dollars in banks, and it cuts out the middleman. This is how they're selling it to you.
Going direct. You know, we don't need the government.
So now, no need for a bank account, no need for cash. All right. And I'm going to show you how this also links into the IMF agenda that they put out a month ago discussing. Okay. So as you look at this, it's great. Refugee camps, I'm sleeping on the floor, but I can go to the market and it's debited directly to me for humanitarian aid. It's also going to be able to help me get a job, according to these people. So to move on from there and to show you how it's even going to be used more for your health, not even programmable tokens for you, but for the robots themselves, they want to distribute healthcare. Cardano, very popular coin. They want to use this as the smart contracts that give the ability of the automated, this is Grace, this is Sophia's cousin, robots. Grace was instituted during COVID-1984 in Western nations, Australia in particular, but it had already been used in Japan, et cetera, that will carry out programming. Now, as you know, before we get to the next thing, humans have what I like to call a soul, a spirit, a life force. They have a morality. Sometimes, even humans in 2022, Mel, I know this is going to be wild, they can figure out right for wrong on their own. They can figure out what shady is going on. So some doctors, some nurses quit, didn't bend the knee, or actually resisted the system. Robots don't do that. They're programmed by digital tokens when they're Grace. So they will carry out whatever is safe and effective. Okay. So now getting back to the CBDC train and how this is also going to regulate what you can do and where you can, because these are programmable. I'm just going to let this guy speak for himself. Now we won't play the second half for the first minute or so. The second half, basically, you know, in semantics, he describes how there will be exceptions to the rule, because there always will be, because this is
right for them.
Exactly. This is the haves and the have nots.
Right.
Down. And when they sell you, you will own nothing and you'll be happy, there will be a class of people that own everything and have exceptions.
Right.
But again, let's just play this for folks so they can understand where this is going.
The third way we think CBDC can improve financial inclusion is through what we call programmability. That is, CBDC can allow government agencies and private sector players to program, to create smart contracts, to allow targeted policy functions. For example, welfare payment. For example, consumption coupon. For example, food stamp. By programming CBDC, those money can be precisely targeted for what kind of people can own and what kind of use this money can be utilized.
I mean, that's pretty much as direct as it gets. What can be bought, how it can be utilized, a welfare program, a universal basic income. The idea that we don't already have a social credit score in the United States. Well, I'm happy that everybody that's got an iPhone likes that device. And here's the thing. Here's the funny thing. It's not just the iPhone. All these social media leviathans and tech companies, they already have this kind of credit score on you. But I want to remind everybody, all right? Apple Financial Services are being investigated by UK regulator over antitrust concerns. So just like I was telling you before, SEC, all these things exist. All right. And there's constant investigations. But as far as 2018, they had a score on you. Four plus years ago, they already had a score on you. They already had a trust rating. All right. So these kind of trust ratings will also be integrated into your green score, your carbon score. And if they can just shut these things off, which it appears they can, or they can program them only to work in certain geo regions, which it appears they can, which will be fully taxed and controlled, which it appears it will.
Right.
This is it. This is the full takeover. The last step in a track trace database, post-truth society, where human beings will then now be culled into a transhumanist future, whether they like it or not. Because when we talk about the internet of bodies, eventually this technology is going to have to be under the skin.
Right.
Okay.
And also, you know, more and more is being talked about when you talked about it 2 years ago, I know for sure, because I was there, about, and with Whitney Webb and a couple other people, about the 15-minute city. And it went during the lockdowns when we were all in Union of the Armonton. You guys are like, no, this is what's going on. They are getting us programmed to be okay with being locked down, essentially. And then as that's gone on now over the past 2 years, it's again and again, and they keep stepping. Last week, I didn't know about the B20 until I knew about the G20. I didn't know fully about the B20. But if you listen to what they were saying 2 weeks ago, everything you were saying is what they were saying. And at this point, Jason, I just say to people, you don't have to listen to Jason Burmes or me or anyone. Go look at their websites. They don't even, they're not hiding this. Like you just showed the guy from the IMF. And again, here's a bigger thing. I don't think people understand. Central bank digital currency won't be American. It's going to be a globalist public-private partnership, Davos crew and whoever, the puppets of masters above them. People have to understand, this isn't about, again, you're the best at not being left or right, but people really have to understand any division that you're behind right now is being created by the same people that want us all enslaved. And this is the easiest way. And I think, Jason, meanwhile, I'm in Florida right now and I drove by FTX Stadium. is the Miami Dolphins Stadium. I'm like, oh my God, they're everywhere. And until you see them, you don't know. But FTX was also in Ukraine, and I believe that they've already implemented through FTX the digital track and trace surveillance system on whoever is left standing in Ukraine. Aren't they already testing it there?
Well, here's the deal. So another thing that we have are the idea of a digital skin or a Starlink system throughout the entire world. Now, those internet systems could directly interface with the blockchain. Right. So they're right without cameras, for instance. That's another way that they can track movement and are. So aside from just the drones they're using, Mel, they're also using it to track the coordinates of other people through their GPS and digital metadata. In fact, one of the clips I've been playing, I'm not sure if you've caught one of these broadcasts lately, is Michael Hayden discussing how we use metadata to kill people. But that's not what we use metadata for you for. Well, that should frighten the hell out of people that even the idea that your metadata could cost your life if a different political regime were in power,
right,
or somehow the enemy, right? I mean, think about that. That's madness. They're admitting to you that basically this digital footprint that you're leaving, whether or not it's phone calls, but really it's just if your device is on. You're leaving metadata all over. Your metadata all over, baby.
Yeah. You want to hear something funny, Jason, because you're not in New York anymore. I had to go to LaGuardia that they put $4 billion into, mind you, since Cuomo came in and reimagined New York. And right now you're going through the thing and they'll be like, they're really pushing this signing up for Clear. And I'm like, do not go there. This is the international, because just last week in Indonesia, they're talking again about the World Health Organization treaty, ID, digital ID. People aren't getting it. People are lining up in droves to sign up for Clear because the guy's saying, go through the Clear aisle and then you can go through the scanner faster. What else happened at LaGuardia, apparently in the last few weeks, you don't have to take your electronics out anymore. So they have all new scanners. I don't know what is going on behind them because they are not controlled by people. And then they're like, just go right ahead. And we know Chartoff and all the people, Hayden, others, were all involved in the pre-9/11 Patriot Act that became our TSA. But I'm telling you, something's going on there that they are pushing in the airports to sign up for this international ID. And people don't know it. They think, oh, I'll get through the line faster. If I go through this Clear thing, the guy's like, it only takes 2 minutes. People are lining up. I'm thinking, oh my God, these people have no idea they're lining up to put their names on the international controlled digital ID. That's what they're doing.
Well, this is all to move towards next gen 2025. So anybody can go
you're
to...
You're always ahead of it.
govmatters.tv/nextgen. You can find out about what NextGen is. But NASA was even putting out videos and DARPA was putting out videos a decade ago about NextGen. And are you aware of the technology they're now utilizing in Detroit so you can find your flight information?
No, share, because I'm sure it's terrifying.
So basically, let's go. We're just going to type it in for people. Detroit Airport New Tech. That should be it. Yes, Parallax Reality is what we're calling it. So basically what happens is if you're going through this airport, you walk up to this device and you scan your ticket and then you look up and it geolocates you without any biometric data. It just knows you scanned that ticket and that ticket is in your hand. And then based on where it sees your eyes, it displays your flight information on a board that's above that's just displaying everybody else's information and only you can see it from that angle.
I'm telling you, something happened with these airports. This is something that redo of LaGuardia has absolutely nothing to do with LaGuardia. I was walking through it, which with all I know, a lot I learned from you, but I'm walking through it and I'm like, this is crazy. This is part of the surveillance, track and trace, slavery model. I can see a time coming up where you walk into LaGuardia and they're like, I'm sorry, you can't fly. You said the wrong thing on Twitter last night. I mean, that's really, we're that far ahead. And here's the thing, Jason, I think a lot of people get it, but I don't think enough Americans, because here's the thing, we just had this election, we're all watching, we know it's totally, there was no fraud, it was all legit, nothing bad happened. Okay, just stop talking about it, move forward. But I have to tell you, so much happened in the last 2 weeks towards the one world government goals that is being overlooked. And I don't care if it's Trump announcing or the ridiculous election or that people aren't reacting to anything anymore. I use this quote a lot. I'm sure my audience is sick of it, but from Hannah Arendt, where she says, totalitarian regimes take over when people believe everything and nothing at the same time, when they think everything is possible and nothing is true. And I feel like we are in this like crazy space of the perfect timing for these people to pull their card. I still don't think they're going to succeed, but I do see a lot of distraction, obviously, in America. And people do not seem to know. I'm going to this event in Arizona in a few weeks. There's lots of people speaking and they're all speaking, but they're not talking about what you're talking about. I'm thinking, why are we fighting amongst ourselves? This is, people need to understand that who the enemy is. They don't know.
No, they don't. And unfortunately, I think that a vast array of this is going to push through, but I think it's going to be regional. I think there are going to be certain regions that push back. People that push back. But I also don't think that we've seen the fallout, for instance, of what we're going to see medically and societally in the next 2 to 3 years via the shot, because these people aren't done. They're talking about the next pandemic. We don't know the long-term effects of these shots, but if these are autoimmune disorders that people are getting and they're getting myocarditis, neither have a great prognosis for the future. And no one seems to be talking about that either. And that's just one aspect of it. They're streamlining mRNA technology into a multitude of shots, including the new quote unquote flu shot, and normalizing the idea that that's a vaccine and it is not. And we've already had several officials openly discussing that this social credit score would also be based on vaccination records. If you just go back, we were talking about via the programmable currency and the IMF and the World Food Program and the blockchain. Well, what did it say? Exams and certificates. That's your medical information. So you could be, we know they've cut people off already. We know they've said you.
I'm still cut off on a lot of things.
So none of this is out of the realm of possibility. We still have large narrative control. I know a lot of people think that Twitter's breaking free and Jordan Peterson's back and Cobra Tate's home. You know, great. I mean, that's fantastic. No offense. I like those guys. I'm glad that they're bringing some people back. But straight up saying that Alex Jones and the media network can't, you'll bring back the Babylon Bee, but not Infowars.com. That's insane. All those guys should be brought back. Every one of them had their account suspended, not just Alex Jones.
Everyone. Rob. I did. I've been suspended since January 8th of 2020. But I'll tell you something. Here's the best part about all of this is that, yeah, but it's exposing something that's really important. I see it too. And I think like, yeah. So how are you picking and choosing? Like I shared Trump's tweet about about January 6th. And 2 days ago, I'm taken off and I'm still suspended to this day. I don't care that much because somehow, like you, people still find us and they like us anyway. But Twitter's a real cesspool. And what's really being exposed to me is that the left and all these demons, these horrible demons, a lot is coming out about Hollywood, too, which we can talk about on a different show. But it's not nothing good. But I will say that it is exposing the fact that not only did the government and all that control Twitter, but Twitter was mind control. It was totally and 100% a mind control, mind wars, like we talk about your NASA document. This is not a platform for good. It was never meant to be that. And so now we're playing along with like, okay, now people are back. And I'm like, why are you going back? Why go back? I understand. And what I think Musk is going to do is turn that into some kind of Amazon where he's selling big product on there, like insurance. Because if you look at it, he has that app X that he's been developing. I think that's going to become Twitter. You're going to think that you're interacting with people, but you're really going to be buying stuff.
I think it's going to go beyond even buying stuff. I think it will also be equated with your social credit score. Right. I think it's going to be a crypto wallet. So here's the deal. I think that this also, you know, going back to FTX, they're going to get most of the decentralized currencies into systems of even more control. Because I don't want anybody to have it twisted. I'm not here as a Bitcoin or an Ethereum evangelical. Clearly, that system has been gamed many times where pump and dumps have happened and people with large amounts of the currency or other currencies have colluded behind the scenes to push it up or bring it back, period. That's absolutely true. But they want to regulate those systems that are person to person and aren't necessarily going to be able to be tracked, traced, and databased outright. I think Elon's going to help with that, not just narrative control. Okay. So I think you're exactly right. That NASA document says, you know, inexpensive forms of warfare, information and internet warfare in the same time. And then to have these Trojan horse civilian systems.
Right.
That's what this is. You know, I wrote an entire article for the RC Reader called Five Reasons, and I could have come up with many more, why Elon Musk should not be trusted. And this is the digital Trojan horse system. So people have to understand, let's say it, maybe not this next generation of internet, but a generation after the internet we're now seeing with fiber, 10, 15 years down the line, your only access is going to be the Starlink systems that he controls. He's a perfect front man, but really there's a DoD backdrop.
Right.
And then this app that's now evolved into not just social media expression, but a form of a social credit score and a form of an Amazon where you can buy everything and drones are hitting you down with it. And at any time, you can also be cut off at the internet level because the only thing that this connects to is that Starlink system.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You just said something that's very interesting. And this is what I've been saying. Like, who's deciding who gets back on and how they pick them and all of that? Because the truth is, if you just go for the child porn, which a lot of it's still... And the child predators and the hate, literal hate crimes, not the ADL remanufactured idea of hate crimes and that nonsense. But if you just go for the evil, take the evil out and you let everyone back on, you know, and just do it that way. But now that they're picking and choosing, it seems like a game, like we're watching some kind of weird game show where it's like, oh, the Babylon Bee's back on. Yay. Oh, Trump's back on. Oh, Alex Jones isn't. And it just seems like more of a distraction that is helping the globalists that the last 2 weeks have been on high octane takeover mode. And I just think so much is happening on the national front that we're not paying attention to the truth. The truth is America is in danger by a bunch of demons that do not care about any of us. And honestly, I feel the same way. Send me any article that you have, because I'd love to share them on what I do have left of my social media. Because the truth is, we have to really start realizing that this is not a game. And this is and once they do this, that executive order 14067, I've gone over it. They're in their second phase right now, by the way. I'm sure you saw they're having a pilot program with, of course, Wells Fargo and Bank of America. And they're going to give people $100, you know, to sign up for the pilot program, you know, because that's the way, you know, like Shake Shack or whatever in New York to get the shot.
It's worse than the carrot on a stick. It wasn't just you get some free fries and a burger, you get a joint. I mean, you literally a New York
City. Chilling. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you get a Metro pass, and, you know, you get a chance at $1 million in a lottery. You get a chance at a scholarship.
Free car.
I mean, they literally did all those things throughout the country and people signed on. They did. They signed on. They bent the knee pretty easily. We are in a scary system, Mel. I think more and more people at least acknowledging that Joe Biden doesn't run any of it. It's hard not to, but that facade is still there. Or that it's acceptable that this is happening right in front of us and the media refuses to cover it.
They're not covering it. And here's the other thing I want to ask you also about the girl, Caroline Ellison. No relation to Larry Ellison. Anyone that's saying that, that is not true. She is her own thing. But her father is a professor at MIT in economics. She went to MIT, and Gensler, who runs this SEC, apparently was his mentor. So we have this whole thing with this girl. And here's the thing, Jason, because you know how to spot the BS optics. So these are the most, this looks like a, I don't know. They look like they're like characters from like a Goonies, you know, they're like a different time. These seem like really characters, and they're not, because they are real apparently. But, and then they live in their place in this $40 million, you know, place in the Bahamas, and they're all polymorphists or whatever they are. And they all really look like, you know, like you feel bad kind of for them. You can't feel bad for them, but it kind of feels like Greta. You know what I mean? Like another Greta or Fetterman or somebody that you're like sitting there like, well, you know what? They can't be that bad. Look at them or listen to how they speak. There is a certain amount of theatrics in choosing this crew. I mean, I firmly believe that this is not, they are not, even though I get it that he's very smart and he doesn't get a free pass. Both parents are professors, but probably worse than the Poison Ivy League, Stanford Law. The mom ran a pack, $100 million pack, Stand in the Gap, you know, of course. And the brother was very involved and apparently was like lobbying the SEC and all of this. So this is not, this cannot be dismissed, but you and I watch them dismiss. A lot of people, I was on Charlie Robinson. He's like, it's only a matter of time till he's Epstein. He knows too much. And I'm like, but we can't let this happen. They're not covering it.
Deal with him. I think Robinson's wrong on that. I think the connections with his girlfriend, you know, and I guess not even their account, but running a lot of the business also speaks to that. That's why, again, they haven't been arrested yet. Because they're figuring out what charges they can kind of put there and who they can kind of post the blame on. And, you know, the rehabilitation process, I think, is what's going on behind the scenes,
right,
and what they're going to do with these people. But just like I said in the beginning of this, well, we didn't know for years until later on that Google was funded by InQtel.
Right.
Now, they may not have been started by intelligence agencies. FTX may have not have been started by intelligence agencies, but they're like, hey, we've got the money, and then they guide them, right? And that's far from the only example of this. You look at Facebook, and all of a sudden Sean Parker gets into the mix, who was recruited by the CIA when he was a teenager, who's the Napster guy, and then they create Spotify out of. You know, who is he jointly working with? Bringing in a guy like Peter Thiel. So, again, what I think really happened here is somewhere along the way, this group was targeted. There was some seed money put in. It worked out well. And they said, you know what? Let's set these guys up shop out in the Bahamas and kind of like front them. And let's get some media pieces on them with a Corolla and how he's going to save the dolphins.
Right. You know?
And
did you see him make fun of the whole woke? This is what we do. Like saying that, because, you know, this is the same thing as Soros. He's such a good guy. Look, I've met people in New York City that work for the UN that have debated me that Soros is the best guy on the planet. Like, there are people that think this. But he said, and it stupidly, I mean, how stupid, that girl, I think it was from Vox or somewhere, started text, like sending him messages on Twitter the other night. And he's responding, throwing the girl under the bus, but also saying that's what the woke do. We pretend to kind of be behind all these causes, and that should be waking up some of the woke folk.
Not even close. I mean, some people are just so far gone from reality. And by the way, that's only going to be shown on Fox News. It's only going to be shown on Tucker Carlson. A lot of it is going to be curated for the ABC, CNN audience, etc. And unless they do really decide to burn this guy, you won't see that in most mainstream media. They'll obfuscate that part. But that's
Fox News will barely do it. I don't even watch Fox News because what's the point? I get more news from you. Five other people, but that's what we need. And I think that that is somewhat winning. Like, let's be honest a little bit about where you were a few years ago and where you are now, because we have gotten to a place where people are watching you. They're watching me. They're watching on a different level, but I mean, a lot of people like you out there. And I do think people are awake. Sadly enough, I think more people are awake in foreign countries because we haven't felt the real pain here yet. You know, if you, God, you left New York, I watched your whole journey, but I'll tell you, I went to the supermarket in New York, eggs are $7.99 and there's barely any poultry or meat on the shelf. It's all manufactured. There weren't less cattle. There weren't less chickens. There weren't less, people have to start putting together what's going on, but just your big picture of what's going on here from your vantage point. Where are we? And what should we be doing, we the people?
Well, first of all, I don't know that we're beating the system by voting ourselves out of it, right? I told everybody there wasn't going to be a red wave. I said they didn't bring these institutions in. In fact, they had expanded their powers from COVID-1984 into now. There is no real audits. These machines had to go almost 20 years ago when they started implementing them. None of that got fixed. So voting your way out of it, probably not happening. I'm not putting a lot, you know, I had Roger Stone on this week and we discussed the 2024 run, and I'm not putting a lot of, I'm not putting a lot behind that. I even put him on the spot about the question via JFK. If you can't show the documents from, 50 plus years ago, exposing the deep state, then how do you take it? Right?
I know.
It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. So I always tell everybody, be as prepared as you can. You know, you talked about the price of food, right? I'm in Iowa and I see it here, but you talk about $7.99 for eggs. I was actually bitching that the cheap eggs were $3.49 and that the, organic ones were $7-$8.
Oh, here they're $14, the organic eggs. Don't get crazy.
Yeah. and I literally remember a time being in New York just before the pandemic. All right. And I'd go to Aldi's and eggs were 69 cents a dozen. 69 cents a dozen. And even at the Red Apple, they run them for 99 cents a dozen.
Right.
That should tell people where we're at. So I'm a big preparedness guy in the sense of I know I'm going to eat. I know my family's going to eat and we're going to have heat. Right now, I'm very lucky that I'm on Red Voice Media. So there's an income there. I have other sources of income before that. That's a big thing. As financially stable as you possibly can be. Also, I'm about to fill my freezer again. It literally lasted me throughout the year. I got, I think, a quarter of a cow and a half of a pig.
Well, good for you. We're doing that too, which is crazy. I'm in Florida right now, and my friend has a ranch. He's like, come get. I'm like, okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah, no, it's been great. Literally just finishing up the meat. In fact, I'm going to take a ham with us. I'm going back to Virginia with my girlfriend in the beginning of the week. We're going to do our Thanksgiving shopping here because I go there.
Right.
Like $8.99 for gel, hair gel. I'm like, I'm paying $9 for hair gel. Like, it's not that important. I'll grow it out and wear the gray and we'll just fluff it up. What is going on here? Like, I, for instance, I already eyeballed turkeys and what they're going for, and I can get a turkey for still 99 cents a pound here. I'd imagine that's going to be $2-$3.
Oh, God. If they even have them, I'm in Florida, thank God, right now. But when I left New York, I bet you they won't even have, it's going to be like some kind of crazy thing, like with the toilet paper in the beginning of the pandemic. Remember?
Probably not a bad idea to have the paper products too. I always, ever since then. It's not like I'm hoarding them, but I've got an extra 24 pack on tap. That's the backup on tap before anything goes down. And you can do that with a lot of stuff, dried goods, rice. I eat that throughout the year, and that stuff lasts, you know, 12 to 24 months. Canned beans, all that stuff. It's not bad to do now, because when things actually do financially collapse, if they do, and it appears even from the mouthpieces of these people that we're talking about in general, it is going to happen. So at least have yourself a head start.
Now, your thoughts, you brought up, we both talked about it, you've talked about it a lot, central bank digital currency. You know, there's some real, like, where the world's going to implode. There's some other people who get a little less intense this than the very, you know, they do have, I've watched the executive orders, that he dropped another one, this, or whoever's, Susan Rice and Obama, whoever's dropped another one this week, that they're on their next phase of the pilot program. Now, the central bank digital currency, for them to do that, they actually would have to do it on their own, which is why they're doing it with the executive order. But if, God forbid, that happened, and you're explaining, as I have too, it's a programmable token. It takes the ESG score, the climate trace, all this nonsense into play. If that happened, I feel like the people would go crazy. I feel like the American people would rise up, but we don't know. We keep expecting that to happen, and it doesn't.
Exactly. I mean, the craziness that I've seen. First of all, almost 20 years ago, I mean, now we're past the 20th anniversary, when I woke up to 9/11. So when I woke up to it, everything was on the table after that, because that was just so unbelievable to me that my government that I had entrusted, maybe I didn't trust all the way, would have anything to do with that and then go full board into a war and propaganda against, you know, a full region of people. So to me, all bets are off. What I have found since then, I mean, forget it. All bets are off, because right now, visibly, like you said, they're not even trying. You got the biggest puppet, who was the most corrupt guy that was out and about. I mean, it's easy to find that corruption. His son is so corrupt and morally, like, look, do your thing. But oh, it's over the top, right? It's cartoon level. There's like not thing that you could say, like, when you're talking about, you know, crack smoking and hookers and possible incest and maybe underage girls on top of all the business and drug deals and then videotaping all of it.
It's right. Just,
whoa. And you have to ignore that. And then you also have to ignore the fact that they're calling what was a riot at best, an insurrection, and that DC is still fenced in many places and still on alert. That's the stuff of banana republics.
Right.
There's just so, and like I said, you still have a system where half of those in government, more than half really, still act like Joe Biden's running anything. Even the Republicans.
It's so weird.
Acknowledging that this guy doesn't run anything on every interview and every time they step up. That's what they should be doing. They should be saying, look, before we even get to the issues, the issue is that the executive isn't running anything and he can barely speak and none of us are acknowledging that. So like we're in big trouble right now, you know?
Right, but the rest of the world is, and I'm scared they're going to pull the 25th Amendment upcoming to stop any investigations. Oh, I'm sure you saw our good pal David Brock has left Media Matters, and then all the plan people are like, oh, look, the plan's coming, the fall of the cabal. And then I'm like, oh my God, no, it's not. They're restarting an entire Democracy Matters campaign to fight any investigations by the Republicans. He's getting a promotion, David Brock. He's not going down. He's doubling down. So, you know, it's like this. I don't even know at this point where we're just dealing with so many demons. And it's like, I don't know what it'll take. I don't know what it'll take.
I don't see any of these people going to jail. Like you said, it looks like they're reorganizing. Even if any of these investigations somehow suggested a prosecution of or started a criminal indictment of, like, Hunter or his brother, they're going to be pardoned. And that's whether Joe Biden's alive at that point or not. They're going to be pardoned. So whatever system will set up a pardon for that, just like I never gave any credence to the Mueller probe or then the Durham probe. I was like cartoon level. Oh, we got her. She's going to prison. No, Hillary's not going to prison. Joe's not going to prison. These people, unfortunately.
I have to tell you, as much as it bothered me, you really did always say that.
I know.
That's why I always followed you. Because you kept being right. As much as I wanted you to be wrong.
I want to be wrong. You know what I didn't want to be wrong about? Like, I think about this a lot. But, like, probably the biggest thing that I was wrong about in 2019 out of everything that I, you know, and I get some other things wrong for sure, was that somehow Biden was going to be the nominee. Forget about winning. I was making joke videos. There's no way they could run this guy. 300 Joe, the record player, crumbling up there, visibly shaking at times. You know, and that's another... thing we didn't discuss about this kid, this Bankman-Fried, other than like the totally fraudulent, he wasn't charismatic at all. And he was shaking in multiple interviews while talking.
He's like Greta. He's like, it's like they picked him on purpose. And they might have. Let me tell you something. Nefarious stuff goes on at Stanford. It's right near Bohemian Grove. I don't know what's happening up there. The parents seem very involved in the whole California thing. You and I have dug into what's going on up there. The brother looks equally nefarious. And the truth of the matter is I just think that there is some kind of casting element. Like you're saying, probably they said, oh, here's a good front group to pick, you know, like, you know, and unfortunately the Weathermen Underground became the government, but you know, same kind of these spoiled rich kids that like woke in the woke world with Saul Alinsky in them. It seems like a similar, like here's a bunch of spoiled rich kids that, you know, we can entice and move right up the ladder and nobody will pay attention. And then when they fall, nobody will care.
Well, you know, you just talked about the university system. I think that's really important. If you historically look at the university system, for instance, it was Yale that really was the original secret societies and intelligence. Yeah. Through like Skull and Bones and Scroll and Key and various organizations. And then later on, obviously you have MIT, which is academia and the government kind of mixed, you know, the DARPA programs, Boston Dynamics are the ones that are out there in front. You look at Harvard, Johnny Vedmore's done some incredible work on the World Economic Forum, their recruitments there. Stanford, Berkeley, these are all part of it. Look at MK Ultra, they were involving university systems.
Right.
So when
UCLA,
you
get, a lot.
Exactly. So the Central Intelligence Agency has very much been involved in academia. They have their eyes on people even before university. Beforehand, I mentioned Sean Parker. You know, again, this is the kid that invents Napster and supposedly, you know, the CIA tried to get him to, you know, come to intern camp.
But they also have that whole pre thing, like Andover and Choate and all that. All those schools where all the ultra wealthy elitist kids go. Then that's the funnel too. That's the craziest thing. I always on my show call it the Poison Ivy League, because now I'm fully convinced that it's just a breeding ground for these like elitist. There's some good people there, but they're only picking them for. And now they're dumbing them down too. It's a total collapse. Do you see that they're not going to have the LSAT for law school anymore? We should all go. I mean, you know, you've been predicting this for a decade, but now we're there. And it's like, I feel like it's up to us. I was saying, who was I talking to? I was talking to Craig Pasta the other day and Charlie and a couple other people from Union of the Awanta Craner. And I was like, it's like the menagerie of the people of us are like, we got to get everyone together that gets it. On both sides, there is no Republican and Democrat. They're a disgusting uniparty. I didn't know as much as you know about that until I tried to go. I went around the country to speak at a couple things like in Arizona and Chicago for people that love America. You know, they weren't necessarily whatever. The RNC is worse. The GOP and RNC is awful. They want no. And I realize I've learned a lot from you and a couple other people. They don't want anyone new in. Opening the books is unacceptable. And that's where we come in. I just say, you know, we got to just keep elevating the voices of this. And here's the scary part about what's going to happen on Twitter. It's going to go back into, because I look at Kirk, Posobiec, you know, all these people who never got kicked off, Candace Owens, a lot of the, you know, the people that they have hundreds, millions of subscribers on and millions of followers. I was never on Telegram, so I didn't do that. But you still think like there are voices that are being, you know, allowed to be the megaphones. And I'm not sure how they're picking them, but they're not saying that much different than you are or I am. But yet, you know, it's just, I just think this Twitter thing is going to end up being exactly the opposite of what people hope. I think it's just going to, again, pick the people that are allowed to have the voice. I don't know why. I don't know who's deciding it, but it's not going to be some kind of freedom of speech solution going forward. Anyway, any last thoughts for humanity?
Well, just because you said that. Yeah, absolutely. For outright from the beginning, they always said that it was freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. So the algorithms stay. Negative and hate tweets will be max deboosted and demonetized. No ads, no revenue. Somehow we're going to monetize it. And you won't be able to find it unless you seek it out. Just like what Google did with YouTube channels like mine. Look, right. I've been on Rumble for, 4 months? And sometimes I get way more views on Rumble alone and a platform I have less than 16,000 subscribers.
Well, I got to tell you, you got to get ready because the Rumble views are weird. Something's going on. I love you, Rumble, so don't hold this against me. But you'll see in like 2 weeks, you're going to see that you had way more views. It takes time there to catch up. It's a weird thing. But then you'll look in like a week at an older video and you'll be like, wait, I had 6,000 views. Now I have 20,000 on that video 2 weeks later. So Rumble's working it out. I have to say, you were shadow banned for YouTube because I'd have to put you in and sometimes it would act like you weren't there. And then you tell me you were, and then Rob would put it in. He'd be like, oh, I found Vermis's videos.
It's tough on there. You know, I haven't seen any significant increase in viewership from when I had 15 to 20,000 subscribers. And now I have 70,000. I use it as a tool. We're back to posting on BitChute. I'm doing a show 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday, redvoicemedia.com through
awesome. A plethora.
And the second hour is premium, but you can listen to the second hour for free. You don't have to be joined up with anything over at Podbean as it happens and even call into the show. And then
oh, how fun. I got to call in someday just to mix it up with you.
Yes. So we have that. And, you know, we're doing everything there from breaking stuff down and doing watch alongs to interviewing folks. I'm very pumped about the show. So if you guys want to support me, basically share the links, share the documentary film, share the info and become more and more real sustainability, not the sustainability they want, but sustainability within your own life, your own ecosystem. And that way you're going to find yourself navigating whatever comes, because whatever comes probably isn't going to be positive. I hate to say it.
Yeah. And I have to say one thing about you, Jason Vermis, is I watched you say you were leaving New York and you left and you took your family and your nieces and you got out of here and you built a new life somewhere. And you seem like, you know, you seem a lot happier. I think people are scared to just realize that that it's over and that they can do that. And I think you're a great example of just realizing the truth and figuring out what best to do for your family first. I think that's what everyone has to really concentrate on right now.
I agree 100% because you're the one that can make a difference in your life and those around you. So you're right. You know, I love it here. My younger niece about to start volleyball. The other one's playing basketball. Good times in Iowa. And quite frankly, you know, where they did steal elections, they didn't steal it here. Kim Reynolds got in again, and her policies, at least compared to most, are pretty damn good. So you can do your own research. You can travel around the country yourself. It's not as expensive as people think. And you can make that move and decision. And maybe you need to.
Thank you so much, Jason Vermis. Please follow him, subscribe to him on Rumble and everywhere else, Red Voice Media. He's killing it over there. And I will see you hopefully in person and again online soon. Thank you so much and happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Thank you, Mel.
Thanks. Hello, Patriot Pals. I am here again to talk to you about something that's concerning me and it might be concerning you. This is something
all of us are starting to feel on the front lines, which is the controlled demolition of the U.S. dollar and our economy. Right now, if you go to the supermarket or you go fill up your car or just your day-to-day expenses, we are seeing an average of $6,000 in bigger costs across the board for each American family at this point. Our 401ks and our pensions are being decimated, and there seems to be no end in sight, at least not right now, because we are at an 8% inflation rate, and that does not seem to be the end of it. And that is a 40-year high. So we've never really seen anything like this in our lifetimes. What we've seen in 2021 and 2022 with the Federal Reserve and the printing of cash is an influx where 40% of the U.S. dollars out there have been printed in the last 2 years, devaluing our dollar dramatically. The rest of the world right now is strongly considering returning back to the gold standard and leaving the reserve currency of the U.S. dollar behind. This has been a result of the sanctions in Russia and other sanctions by our government on foreign countries that no longer trust the U.S. dollar. And I think the best thing we can do is A, know that we have to weather the storm. We have a financial storm brewing. We are going to get through it. America will prevail. But in the meantime, I really am suggesting, as I am doing myself, to protect your savings, protect your 401ks and IRAs. And the great way to do that for me is gold and silver. I've been working with Beverly Hills Precious Metals for a little over 2 years. They've been really great with me and my family and friends. They have experts in different fields and different avenues. And if you go to our partners page and you go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals, you will find a real person who knows exactly what can be done to help you in whatever circumstance you're in, wherever you find yourself. They will meet you there. They will help you come up with a plan. You can have your gold and silver delivered to you. They also have a depository that's insured that you can have your gold and silver there for you. And in the end, I do believe that America will succeed and we will rise again. And this country will return to the greatness and the beauty that we know and love. But in the meantime, we have a storm ahead. It's very uncertain. To learn more, please go to the Mel Kay Show Partners page and find Beverly Hills Precious Metals and contact the experts there to find the best path for you and your family to protect your savings and to prepare for whatever's ahead. God bless you. God bless America. And please take care of your family first. Hi, guys. Mel Kay here. I'm very excited to be here with my partners at My Daily Choice because we are super excited about our CBD line. It keeps growing. I am a big fan of these patriots that are out there. They are producing this in America. They ship it from America. It is totally pure. It is the best I've found. After the last 2 years, guys, of the medical industrial complex and us watching this unfold, we have to realize that natural remedies, things that come from God, are actually the best medicine. What are you guys finding out there from people that respond to you and from how you're using it and what it's doing for your life?
Well, it's changed our lives in a lot of ways. For her, sleep is one thing, mood, overall general health, just so many things. But the reason that works that way is because we all have an endocannabinoid system, which none of us were taught. No. I wasn't taught it in grad school. And it's there to give us homeostasis or balance in our bodies. It controls the other 10 body systems. Wow. So no wonder none of us felt too good, you know? So we hear all kinds of stories all every day about what it's doing for people.
Yeah. And for me, especially, it's great for me for sleep, but also for mood, for kind of staying even keel with energy all day without the ups and downs. And I know I also have had many experiences with different products that you have. The coffee is great. There's a makeup line. I mean, this is an amazing product and I really want everyone to go check it out. You can go to the partners page at the Mel Kay Show and you can see the link to My Daily Choice. And we are very excited to get our health back, to go into this next phase of the awakening and have some great products to use while we're getting on our A game to go back into the summer. So thank you so much, guys. And I will see you next time. And everyone, please go check out the Mel Kay Show at Partners and find the My Daily Choice tab and go check out all the products. There's so many products, you won't even believe it. I really appreciate it. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.